K-8, are you 8, mobile?
Good morning, W8FU.
Good morning, Sean. How are you doing today?
Not bad. Just getting on gross spec here. I stopped at Lisa Torre's this morning, got a breakfast pizza for the guys, because half my shop's at school. So the guys that are stuck back at the shop, I figured, you know what? Breakfast pizza today.
Breakfast pizza sounds delicious.
Well, the place is called Lisa Torre's, and it's at, it's halfway between Van Dyke and Mound on 12 Mile. And they open at 6 a.m., so if you ever think of it before you're heading out to work, give them a call. They need about 20 minutes. Pick one up. It is worth it.
You know what? I saw that sign on that building like 2 weeks ago and thought to myself, I wonder if that's like still current. They do breakfast pizzas there. That's awesome to know. I'll have to check that out one day.
Yep, they are good. And they have other stuff as well. They have these breakfast bowls and other various things. And then, of course, you know, it's the regular pizza joint as well. I've gotten a regular pizza, which is pretty good. But their breakfast pizza is off the hook. So every once in a while, I'll grab one and bring it into work. But today was easy. I've only got three of us there today. Between working from home or away at class, there's just three of us, so I figured, you know what, I can get off easy today.
That's pretty cool. What kind of classes are your guys at?
It's a device, GPC 8000 Motorola. In trunking, every site has to have a site controller, and they're hardwired today, and they're moving into the, you know, into a virtual. So it's known as virtual prime. So, you know, every site has a prime site router. And, you know, and all these physical connections and making it very difficult. But they're going to this virtual prime site, which is nice because, you know, once you've got a virtual prime site, you can literally have your the control of your system can move. You know, it doesn't have to be located in any specific spot, which is, you know, real good for just another layer of hardening and redundancy, et cetera.
Very cool. That would, I'm sure they get sent out on some pretty interesting school classes and seminars for different devices.
Yep. Try to get them out for stuff when we can. A lot of times when there's a purchase, a big purchase by one of the, you know, either the state or the one of the three in the Tri-County area, it'll come with classes, and, you know, they have X number of slots. So we'll get a call from, like, Oakland or Wayne or the state. And, this one's for the state. And they'll say, hey, I got a couple of seats available. And that's my collision warning, and I wasn't even close. Huh. Must have that thing set too sensitive. Anywho, they called up and they said, hey, we got some seats available. You want to send some guys? So it's like, hell yeah. Classes run about $3,000 a man normally, and then you got to send them it depends, you know, like most of the classes I'd been to when I was slinging tools were in Schaumburg, which is where Motorola's world headquarters was. But they've kind of shut that facility down for the most part. I don't know if they're still doing classes out of there or if they have somewhere else they're doing them.
Yeah, so if they're free, take advantage of them, huh? You don't even have to travel if they're staying semi-local. I would imagine in the state. Are they over in Diamonddale or somewhere over there?
Yeah, exactly. 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Diamonddale. We put them up. You know, it's a bit much to ask somebody to drive out there every day and drive home. So they're staying out there. But yuppers, it's a bargain. You know, when you get classes like that, hell yeah. How many? And the rest of us just gotta hold down the fort best we can, right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's never a bad thing to send people out once in a while and put them up in hotels, give them a per diem or something, let them have a little fun after the class.
No, the county has it in their policy. You're not allowed to have any fun when you're on their business. It's right there in the contract.
You know, 50-50 whether you're telling the truth or joking right now.
Well, it's not in the contract, but if they could, they would. I remember, granted, this was back in the 90s, but the computer industry was exploding right before our very eyes, and I remember, we had, I don't know what it was it a 286, you know, or 386, I don't remember, it was all that was going on, and I remember I wanted a mouse and a CD-ROM for our computer, and they were like, no, you know, because the only reason somebody would have a mouse or a CD-ROM is to play games. I'm like, you're kidding me, right? All our software is coming on CDs and, you know, and everything is slowly becoming mouse-driven. It's like, you know, but they just would not. They would not agree to give mice or CD-ROMs to any of the computers.
K-E-8-R-U-H. It is so funny to think of things like that. And probably how expensive a mouse and a CD-ROM drive was back then is probably hilarious. Now most computers don't even come with a CD-ROM drive.
Oh, yeah. No, it's changed. My son, he cracked me up the other day. He works on, he does plant maintenance for the Postal Service, and he fixes all the machines and everything, and he says he was out on this one machine. He goes, and the hard drive went bad. He goes, it's like a 2-gig hard drive. He goes, I didn't even know they made a hard drive that small. And I'm like, 2-gig? You want to hear some stories? I got some stories.
Oh, yeah. It's funny to think, you know, at one point in time, a 2-gig hard drive was gigantic.
Yeah, I remember my buddy Steve, N8IFQ, he and I did a lot of, he taught me, but still we were dabbling a lot in online stuff long before online stuff was a thing. We had our own, he had an online presence, and we set up some dial-ins at our houses and stuff and had a few select people that could dial in to us. We were trendsetters. Didn't cash in on it, though. I could be sipping, pina coladas on a beach somewhere if I would have, acted on that. But here I am, the drudge. But I remember he called me up one day, and he goes, dude, you're not going to believe it. He goes, I got a 1 gigabyte hard drive. And I'm like, no, get out of here. How big is that even?
Yep. We've actually been seeing a lot of, like, really old equipment. As of late, I feel like there's a couple groups that we deal with that are clearing out some really old stock. But even at that, we're not, I think the day of the 1, 2, and, 4-gig hard drive is long gone. We don't see anything that old anymore. And, what was it, there was a Dell GX1, I think, It was an old desktop, white, had a blue Dell badge on it. And, man, I must have moved a million of those things over the years. And they were, man, they were just heavy and, by today's standards, basically useless.
Yeah, I think I still got in the basement somewhere. I think I still got the very first real computer I ever bought. I built some, and I remember the first one I ever bought was a 486 DX266 from Asus, and that was like the first real store-bought computer I ever got, and that was a good machine in its day. I couldn't even tell you what the hard drive was. It was probably like 100 meg or something like that. Who knows what it was, but I'm sure it was something small. I remember pining over, you know, whether I wanted to go from 256K cash to 512 and whether I wanted the expense and all sorts of crap like that. Pretty crazy. Now you can buy a thumb drive at the checkout, you know, 32 gigabytes. Oh, man. Good stuff. What is that law? You know, the miniaturization law. Everything, you know, miniaturizes to a point where it can't anymore or something. I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah, they give away thumb drives for free at Micro Center. I think they're up to giving away 64s or maybe even 128 gig thumb drives for free, which is wild when you think about it. But, you know, back then, nobody was storing high-res photos and music and movies. You just had documents. So you didn't need all that space.
This can't be right. My clock in the car says it's 7:12. There's no way it's 7:12. Is it 7:12?
It is 7:35.
Yeah, I knew it had to be because but my clock is like stuck at 7:12. Weird. Ah, my radio is frozen up, not doing anything.
Lovely. I think I've had that happen before and I can't remember what I did. I don't know if it was just as simple as turning the car off and turning it back on, or I had to disconnect the poles on the battery.
I've had some weird annoyances with this radio. Nothing, you know, bad, but, you know, like I'll have it on a particular satellite station I'm listening to. And I'll get out. Sometimes when I jump back in the car, it'll pick right back up there. Other times, it goes to, you know, like the last AM station I had on, listening to a ball game or something like that. Most often it's the AM station that I was listening to. And, you know, I got to go back, you know, and, you know, pick satellite. And then it's always on that default channel, that, you know, that... that channel one or whatever that tells you your ID of your radio. And so now I got to go find the channel I was on. So I don't know why it does that. It's kind of annoying.
It's super annoying. If they made a car that you could buy with just a couple dials, push buttons, power windows, power locks, and that was about all the tech that was in it. It'd be very freeing, I feel like.
Well, I like my gadgets, so I would not like that. But I'll tell you, in the realm of the entertainment system and these things, honestly, they should they should just put a screen mirroring in for your phone. Just forego all the rest of the crap. Don't need it. Maybe an AM/FM radio, I guess. It's, you know, in a pinch, you jump in the car and you, I don't know. But basically, I think they should get these things down to just a an appliance to bring your phone display up. All right, I'm just pulling up here, Anthony. I'm going to pull in and get inside and start my day.
All right, have a good day, Sean. If you get a chance, send over that list that we were talking about on Telegram, and I will talk to you soon. Have a great day. Hopefully this weather breaks and we have a sunny in 74 instead of a cloudy in 74 today. But I will talk to you tomorrow morning. Have a great day. K-E-R-U-H, and I will be clear.
All right, catch ya. I'm going to figure out what's wrong with my stereo. It's not even turning off when I turn the car off. Later. W8FU.
It is Halloween. You may be stuck in a time warp, you know, kind of a thing. Anyway, have a great day. W8RCY. W-E-T-T-T. W-A-E-A-B.
Who were you calling, Ollie? Where's Wally?
In front of the office of the sheriff, about 2 minutes out. Dunham and Elizabeth. Nine, yeah, on this one.
Which one is this one?
Center and got a Pi 2W for it was like $14.
with the header?
No, but they had headers there too, so that was another $6. So I got that soldered it on. But then when I put it all together, I was still having the same problem. So I couldn't just tear a little header that I got left out. So I just for fun, I just gonna call fun. I used a different SD card and started from scratch. That worked. There must have been something corrupted on that SD card I was using.
All right. Yeah, I got to take a look at mine because I'm not sure if mine's on a 2W and I've upgraded or not. I've got a 2W laying around here somewhere, I think. Anyhow, how do you like it so far?
I mean, it's okay. Other than a little different layout on the dashboard, so I don't see much difference in that than the PiStar. So what's the big hoopla?
I think you get more hooplas for your effort.
Yeah, I mean, other than a little bit of graphics, some nicer-looking dashboard, and I don't know, it seems to work exactly the same, so I don't know. I don't know if it's worth all the hassle, but so the question is, I've got my other one, which is a Zoom spot, is with a D-Star. Should I even bother upgrading that one? I don't know.
I think there's more to it than just the graphics as you dig into it. But that's the one I would use if I were. It's, I don't know if the automatic updating and everything's better or not, but they both work, right? So no, you don't have to.
Right. So we'll see. I heard you playing. I overheard you saying you've got one of those other, what do they call them, the other all-star nodes, clean node, clean, something like that? How's that working?
It's the queer node. It's fabulous. No, clear node.
Okay, so you like it, huh? It's what, the interface is pretty cool, is that it? From your phone and all that? Is that the big advantage?
Yeah, it's all about the UI. We got, hold on, let me turn this other radio down. The guy writes a really spiffy user interface for the phone, and it allows you to, control it much easier. In particular, he's got DB switch integrated, and he's got that pretty much automated. So if you wanted to use that for your digital modes, you could. Now, I have no intention of using it that way, but honestly, it's all about the app. Other than that, it's a rather unspectacular, piece of hardware. It's nicely done, but it's nothing any more advantageous than any other, like a Sherry. You save a little money going with a Sherry and then just running, All-Star 3 or Ham VoIP or something like that. But it's all about the app.
Okay, so will it run Ham VoIP, or is it a whole different image using ASL 3, or can you use either one?
Well, he's got several products. He's got some based on the Pi 5 now. that are running ASL3 natively, or, you know, as shipped. And he's got some that run the original ones, run on Pi 4s. Those are still running HamVoIP, but he's going to be transitioning over to 3, I think, at some point, from what I've heard. And then he's got the Clear Zero, which is the one I picked up. That one's HamVoIP. And then he's got a radioless one. And then he's got one specifically made for repeaters. You know, so he's got a lot of different products, but he's transitioning to ASL3. But the bulk of his products, I think, are still running on a HamVoIP platform, which was disappointing. I'm looking to transition everything to 3.0. But honestly, for this, you know, if I cared about what was under the hood on this particular unit, I probably wouldn't have bought this unit. You know, I'm buying this unit because, you know, if his UI interface and everything, and why do I care? You know that it's HamVoIP under the hood? No, I don't. So, not that I have a problem with HamVoIP, but you know, just I feel that ASL3 is the way to go in future proofing and moving forward. ASL3 is the way. But again, like I say, this one, you know, his are mostly HamVoIP with the newest Pi 5 versions running ASL3.
Okay, did you say you broke up a little bit? Are you running a Pi 0 clear node?
Yeah, he has one called the Clear 0, which is based on a 2W, 02W. So, yes, that's the one I've got.
Okay, I just pulled it up here. I'm looking at it. Oh, that's kind of cute. Yeah, so, interesting. All right, I'll have to check that out and see what the deal is. Yeah, and I'm going to try experimenting with going up to ASL3. I just ordered some SD cards. I don't want to mess with the ones I have. I'm just I'm short on SD cards, so I just ordered some bunch to play around. I'll try experimenting with ASL3 when I get them.
Yeah, I really like 3. I think they've done a really good job with it. And the thing I like most about 3 is that, it's you can upgrade it on the fly. You can keep on, you know, it's Debian 12, and you can keep on top of it, upgrading it. Very easily. They've got a wonderful, like, splash page, particularly for the Pi-based ones. They've got a wonderful splash page that you land on, and you can pick to go into the UI for managing it, or you can go into Allman 3. Allman 3 is just, you know, it's just Allman 3, whatever. You know, so some might argue they like Supermon better. And in many ways, Supermon is a more complete and a more thorough package. But the control package, I'm not sure exactly what they call that, but it's wonderful. It gives you you can manage the thing completely from this. Update it. Including, of course, the ESL packages, which are now being worked on, which is the big thing. You know, HamVoIP has all but died with regards to support, and they no longer have the, you know, the, I think I've already told you this, and I don't know that they're even working on it. It's closed, it's a one-man show, and I just think he's lost interest or something. I could be wrong, but I've asked, and I can't even get an answer. You know, I mean, one time I dared to say, did HamVoIP die? And I was looking to just get a rise out of them, right? And I did, of course. You know, somebody, it's all very much alive and well, you know, and finally, after weeks and weeks of asking questions and getting nothing, it took a poke for you to come out of the woodwork and tell me that it's still alive and well. How alive and well is that? So anyhow, not to you know, whatever. It's a wonderful little appliance. It works really good still to this day. But ASL 3 has, I think, you know, come and beat them at their own game. It's really sweet. It's really nice to install. It's got excellent utilities and all that. It's upgradable. It's future proof because you know it's not. It's now. It's you just lie. You just get a current Debian. And you just load the packages like anything else, and I can't speak enough. The biggest thing is, and they're working on it. They're coming out with new stuff on it all the time. So I expect things are going to start exploding as people start to get involved in the development in ASL 3 once again. So anyhow, there's my little commercial for ASL 3.
Okay, a question. So does the Clear Node or Clear Zero have all the same functionality as the like the other Clear Node, just smaller and, you know, doesn't have all the jacks and stuff that the other one does? Is the function that's identical?
Yeah. All of them are exactly the same. They have the exact same software, user interface, and everything. The difference, of course, is the Zero is you don't have any ports. You know, there's no Ethernet port. And the one available micro USB is they use that for the to get the data plus data minus lines off for the interface. So. You have to set up the Wi-Fi. It's best to just have them set it up for your home Wi-Fi before they ship it, and then and then you can use. They've got this function called Wi-Fi by Light. Now, don't get me going on that. I tried all morning to get that to work. I could not get that to work. So what I had to do was Greg gave me a great idea. It was so obvious. It was embarrassingly obvious. But he said, well, it's working on your home network. Why don't you just change your phone hotspot to the same SSID and the same password? It'll connect up to that. Then you can get in there, manage it, and add your work Wi-Fi. Sure enough, that worked fine. But the thing was is that Wi-Fi by Light function wasn't working. But that's the thing. You don't have the ports. You can't jack it in, and you can't you can't get access. Other than that, the Zero and the Four versions are shipping with a ham VoIP underlying OS, whereas the Five, which I'd never buy anyhow, just because of the power consumption, but the Fives are running the new ASL 3. But they'll all be running ASL 3 soon enough. So what's the difference? Really nothing except for the hardware. Functionally, they're exactly the same. And I went with the Zero because Zeros are much more power tolerant and much more frugal. So for something like this, that's, let's face it, that's why I'm buying it. I want it to be, frugal and be able to work in a wide variety of I don't want it to be very persnickety about the 5 volts, as you know, some of these, especially a Pi 4 or Pi 5, you lose nothing but that connectivity. And where the only place I think that really matters is the Wi-Fi.
Okay, so I'm looking at the picture of it. So it's got, it's got the standard 2 USB ports and the HDMI port. One, of course, is used for power. But you're saying you can't use the other one for, like, an Ethernet adapter or, various adapters? Do I understand that correctly?
Correct. You use the one for power, which is, closest to the end. Then the one right next to it is the only other one available, and that one they're using for data plus data minus to go to the sound card, to go to the sound interface. So it's not available for use. So all that leaves is the HDMI port, which is of no use for that.
Okay, so if you wanted to connect it to either that, you can't. Okay, that's good to know. All right, interesting. Oh, by the way, I won't be at breakfast this Saturday. There's an ERPSC thing going on I'm working on.
Oh, okay, we see how we rank. What's going on? Anything, is it just for your local ARPSC? I didn't hear nothing on ours.
Yeah, it's some kind of exercise. It's called Cornerstone. I don't know. No, Capstone. Operation Capstone. So it's working out of the Rochester Fire Department. So, yeah, it's Oakland County only, as far as I know.
Okie dokie, yeah. Wow, it's following set pretty closely. Getting your money's worth.
Okay. All right, very good. So I'll catch you later then. Talk to you. ABAPR.
Okie doke. So let me know when you get your clear zero and let me know how you like it. W8FU. Really?
Did you think there was one piece of breakfast pizza left and somebody snitched it? Really? Guess not. W8RCY.
Okay, let's not do that again.
Do why?
If you didn't hear it, it wasn't you. Yeah, anybody that has telemetry on will hear it. I'll turn telemetry off on this node. I'm connecting in. I'm connecting in via the new 1990, or am I? Yeah. And I don't think I turned telemetry off on that one, which I should.
Okay, well, I didn't think anybody would hear it, so my apologies. K8VSI.
Yeah, no big deal. I just, I figured that was the case. But, yeah, that propagates over the whole network unless somebody specifically has, you know, unless you turn telemetry off. That's why most people turn telemetry off, because it's crazy.
Something I should do on my end? Maybe I'm still confused about this.
No, all the connect information is sent out of band. So when you do that, anybody else that's connected up that chooses to hear the telemetry will hear it just like you. It doesn't go just to you. It's out of band on the whole network. And, you know, now most people have that shut down. There's nothing you can do. If you want to hear it, you're going to hear it. But also, so is everybody else that has telemetry turned on.
Okay, so the only person that bothered was you and a select few that may have had that turned on.
Yes, yes. Somebody has that turned on in their node. Like sometimes, you know, like I used to keep that on the hub because I never normally listen to the hub, but I would keep it on just if I wanted to kind of hear connects and disconnects and things like that. But, you know, and it's good for that, right, for connects and disconnects. But in that particular scenario that just transpired, without getting into detail, that you can see the caveats.
Okay, I gotcha. So, not to stay too much on this, but I was only expecting, like, I don't know, a dozen tops of in the status there, but it seemed to go on a lot longer than that. That was crazy. I didn't realize it would be that long. So now, let's say if I invoke a command to say my date and time, I know I'll hear it. Would you hear it as well?
I don't know. Give it a try.
I'm seeing here the one I did originally was in a different area. The date and time is local, but let me try it. Hold on. Okay, did you hear it or no?
Negative.
So the ones listed on your local are local only. All right, cool. Sorry, just playing around. And that's it. KEABSI.
No problem. No biggie. I just, I've done it as well and went, oh, crap, because once it's rolling, that's it. All right, WNFU.
Yeah, once I found out you were hearing it, I'm freaking out. I'm going, oh, man, and I had no clue when it was going to stop because it was going way longer than I thought it was going to. Almost ran out in garage and unplugged the darn thing. But, oh, wow. All right, sounds good. Thanks for the help.
KFAS.
Why am I hearing that? Oh, okay. From WNFU.
KF8BOT, looking for a radio check.
Who? What? Why? Is that Don? No. Oh, maybe. So how are things in general, both over on this side of town and otherwise? There's your route in Waterford. Was it Waterford or somewhere? Where were you showing? Where you were eavesdropping?
Yeah, I was investigating a dilapidated property out in White Lake, and it's definitely dilapidated, which is the result of my investigation. Fine, beautiful day. Back at home, quote, working.
Is there a World Series
going on tonight?
I have no idea, but that is a good question. I can look.
Well, I'm just saying you could get that, you know, it's nice enough where you can get that bourbon cigar with the ball game, get another one of those in before the before they're over.
Yeah, and it may be the last one. So there is a game tonight, and it's so far LA is up 3-0 against New York. So it may be the last one. Who knows? They never do that. There's too much money to be made. They always have to go to all 7 games. But anyway, yeah, I thought about that. We'll see. Maybe sit outside. What are you doing on this side of town?
Well, with the weather, balmy, is it 77, 78? Oh, that must be my internal temperature. What is that? Why does it say 77 and 78 on my radio? And then it says 81 on my speedometer. What's the temperature? I'm so confused, but either way, that's a nice day.
Gosh, horse.
Oh, that was showing me the climate control. I was going to say, why is my radio showing me the right side and the left side climate control? I should have known.
So, we always keep those, I always synchronize them, so too many times I've been driving around by myself going, why is it not warming up, or why is it not getting cold? And, oh, the other side is 20 degrees off or something. Anyway, yeah, I was thinking about, I was looking at QSLs in Lubbock and the world, and I'm really close to 100 on, 100 grids on 6 meters, and thought, gee, I ought to go up and put my 6 meter antenna back up, because it's just laying next to the garage. Today would be a good day to do that, but, no, maybe tomorrow.
I should go get my wire back up. It's been down for a month, ever since I, ripped the garage down, and I got all the spreaders on it and all that. I just got to do the fine tuning and get it hoisted back up. Pretty easy, really. Nothing too trying. But it certainly can't beat the weather. This would be the time to do it.
Yeah, this would be the time to do it. I need to wait till it's snowing and 31 degrees. The antenna always works better if you put it up in that weather.
Well, there's that. There's the time to do it from a comfort perspective, and then there's the time to do it from a it'll work forever and better than ever weather. We're still way too nice for that. But, yeah, I forget. You know, now that there might be more interaction. I used to have them fanned out, you know, at quite a, you know, they would fan out very quickly from one another, and I had them tied off to different spots. And now they're all going to be, you know, coming down the same basic slope with the spreaders and all that. So that may cause some a different interaction than I had experienced before. So who knows? I think you start with the longest leads, get those dialed in, and then you work your way down, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's a formula for, yeah, I think you adjust the lower antenna, the longer element, and then go to the shorter one, I think that's the way it's supposed to work, but who knows. You know, there's so many antennas that have multiple elements just separated by, you know, several inches of spreaders. You should be fine, though. You know, that design's been proven. You'll be all right. It's not like you're using two of the bands at the same time or something.
Well, I've got about 3 miles to decide whether I'm going to do that or not, or just be fat and lazy and
let me tell you what, being fat and lazy is always top of my list.
Mm-hmm. I stopped and got a late lunch on the way back from my property investigation earlier, so I stuffed myself and I will not be hungry for dinner. Which is going to throw off the evening schedule, blah, blah, who cares. Anyway, I thought I'd share that. I still missed what you were doing on this side of town. Maybe I just missed that. Sorry.
I asked you how things were going over on this side of town. Meaning, how are things going with Mom?
Oh. Yeah. That's a conversation for a different time. Thanks for asking, though.
Roger. Yep. So I'll get home and if I do my antenna, probably get on the air. That would be a good idea. That's really what I should do. I got to work myself up to that. And lunch. Yeah. I had lunch over. We went to Jimmy D's. Wally and Greg and Dave all descended on the shop and we did a nickel tour of the dispatch center down the street, and then we all went to Jimmy D's, home of the legendary corned beef. And I will allow them that adjective, as I think they qualify.
Oh, very good. I hope, you know, if Dave's closing was successful today. I assume they did that earlier. Or maybe they... Maybe it's wrapping up now.
Different Dave, KZ8C Dave. But, yeah, Dave was doing all the paperwork last I heard, and then that's the last I heard of him. I think he should be a homeowner by now, but he's, I mean, you know, he's got the wife and the kids and the new house, and I'm sure they're... pretty preoccupied with all that. They probably want to get in that bad boy ASAP.
Yep, I imagine everything went well. Yep, we'll be busy for a bit, but it'll be worth it. Well, I'm going to jump out and go take care of it, but I will check back in later. In a bit, KBB.
Alright, yeah, Dave just checked in over on the node. So he said things went uneventful and he's just getting things worked out. So.
It's been rough for a while though because we don't have our stuff here yet. We don't have a refrigerator.
No refrigerator.
It's like, well, we can't really have food here yet.
Anyhow, so it sounds like it went well. W had a few.
WNSC mobile. I can't remember the name. I think I caught the call, but it was a little scratchy.
Hello, Charlie. Hello, Juliet Oscar.
Oh, Cujo. Hey, what's going on?
Driving home now from New Hudson. I'm actually at, where am I? Novi and 696
Eastbound. I got off the freeway at Little Mac, and I'm heading up Gratiot, oh, Joy right now. Headed north. Yeah, I just got to decide where to get back on the freeway. It's showing red on the map, so I make a better time over here than I am the other way.
Well, if you're crashing in Joy, you might as well just see crashing all the way down to 23 in the Chesterfield.
I could probably just take the right up to 31 or 32 miles, cut across and probably quicker.
What's the down by 23 in Jefferson?
No, I'm in St. Clair. I'm up off from 32 all the way to the river. It was all red, and I jumped up to Gratiot from 21 down to where it gets on at in Roseville. Made better time, and then this afternoon it was just about as bad. Yeah, usually it's worse on Wednesday. Today is Tuesday, and it's horrible.
Stay away from Van Dyke if I can, and I stay away from I hate major traffic.
They're switching maps there. One map says go one way, one map says go the other way, so take the one that's shorter.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get down to 94 and then get off on Gratiot at Hall Road. In the Earl's Ridge.
I'm at Hall Road in Gratiot right now. Make the right hand turn.
Well, there you go. Take Hall Road all the way down to Jefferson and Jefferson North. That'll jump in there somewhere. My daughter's oil change shop is right there by Walmart. That Pennzoil right there off the garage next to Burger King. That's where I'm heading. I'm heading there to go get my oil changed.
I'll have to keep that one in mind.
What's that, the Pennzoil right there? Oh, yeah, she'll take care of you.
Yeah, I've been trying to find a new oil change place, so
I saw it do, actually, so
next payday I'll grab it, so. I'm sitting here at the light hauling grass right now, and the map just changed, says, don't go the other way, go north. I'm like, okay, I'll do that now.
Yeah, it's just before the light off of grass that turns into the Walmart Shopping Center Marketplace. That Pennzoil right there, it's right next to Burger King. Because she always goes to Burger King for lunch. But yeah, you pull in there just, and she's the only girl that's there. And you just say, aren't you Cujo's daughter? She'll know who you are.
I will remember that. Don't worry about that. So, yeah. I usually take you to the dealer in St. Clair, but I haven't been happy with them for a while, and they just charge too much anymore.
Well, this is a company vehicle that's managed by Element Fleet, and they sent me a letter saying, that's not an authorized oil change. I'm like, it's a Pennzoil, and they take Element Fleet cards. So what's the difference for me going there to going to the Pennzoil that's in Richmond that's on your fleet approved list? They go, oh, well, it's like $11 difference. I'm like, really? I said, well, I'm going to continue going to my dollar because that's the only one that I trust to change my oil. And the only mechanic I use for my service hand is Brandon Gutierrez Tire on Shana just north of Hall Road. Those are friends of the family, too.
Yeah, I got a good place in Marine City I use that I've been really happy with over the years. They're a family-owned business, mom-and-pop shop. Kids took it over, and he does really good work at a good price. So I love that place. And I drop it off in the morning, it's done in the afternoon.
Yeah, I get paid to sit, so I just bring it in the morning and go, I'll call the owner up. I'll call Jared and say, you got space for me today? And he goes, nah, can you bring it to him? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I got to get winter tires on it. And I think I got a set of winter tires still there from last year. Maybe. Oh, maybe I'll get a new set. Who knows? But I just call him and say, hey, can you do winter tires today? And he'll say, yeah, and if he says, yeah, then I tell my boss, I'm going to go get my tires changed, and I'm going, I'll sit there for 2 hours. But they usually try to get me in and out. They're pretty good with me. Like I said, I've known them for 30-some-odd years. As long as I've been married is how long I've known them, because my father-in-law used to go there. So I just jump in there, and they take care of me, know the kids, good place. They're a little bit more expensive, but I trust them. That's why I go there. Okay, help me too.
W8NFC. Yeah, when you find a place you trust, you're willing to pay a little bit more, too, because you know it's done right, and, you know, that's what I like. You know, I had a quote from them, and I waited 6 or 8 months to get my brakes done, and he honored the quote of what it was, didn't raise it, didn't do anything with it, you know, honored what he had wrote on the paper.
Well, for my personal truck, I take that to my neighbor. I buy the parts, and he does all the brake. He does my brake work, does the calipers. If I need them, I just buy them. And he actually rebuilt my front end for me. I need sway bar links and upper lower joints and a whole bunch of stuff. It was like, if I went through my mechanic, it would have been just under $5,000. But my mechanic says, here's the list of the stuff that you need for the Cadillac. I know you have your neighbor do it, so here's the list that you need to build to get these parts, and then we'll go from there. They cost me half of that. I mean, they know me that well.
Yeah, you find those people, that's who you keep in your pocket, you know. I totally get that. I used to have one. He used to be on our fire department, and he owned a shop, but he got out of the business for himself, and he's working for a bigger company now as a manager, so... But he was good because he'd let you pay when you got your quarterly fire check. You'd just, you know, be on the IOU list. There's a couple guys that never paid. He did vehicle liens on their cars because they didn't pay the bill.
What department do you work for?
I'm an assistant chief for St. Clair. And then I work for... the department with the blue car and one red bubble for the regular job.
So St. Clair is volunteer then.
Yeah, I deal with IT for the state, for the 911 center in Detroit that the state police have. I'm one of four of them statewide. We have four centers, so each one of us has an IT guy on site.
Oh, so I know who I can give some laptops to if you need them to play with. I just rebuilt one for my brother-in-law who works with me. And there was nothing wrong with it. It was a nice Wi-Fi processor, but had the corporate goop on it, so with an SSD, wiped it all out. Took me a little while, but I did that Saturday. I put Windows 10 Pro on it. It was a very happy camper.
Yeah, I'm going to try something with one of my small form factors here shortly. Maybe not this weekend because I got to go winterize my RV, but I'm going to do a dual boot, one for Windows, one for Ubuntu, because I'm going to try to run my Plus Media server off the Ubuntu. Just Windows, it doesn't run right. It bogs down. I'm going to try something, see if I can get it to work, so I can watch live TV outside of the home.
Well, with Windows, you can download a free version of VMware and use that, and then since you got an Ubuntu OS installation ISO, you can put that in there, VMware. That's how I did it. I used VMware, and I got a Windows 7 machine running a Windows XP background on a VM.
Figure out something, because ever since that whole Windows 11 stuff came out, the Plex Media server just crawls along, and you start watching it, and it can't transcode it from 1080 to, you know, transcode it down to what, you know, for speed and bandwidth, but the Ubuntu is supposed to do it a little bit better, so I'm going to try that. I'm just going to do the dual boot on it. It's at my house, so it's not like it's, you know, try it, see what happens. If it works, then I might go the VMware route.
Yeah, Windows 11 is odd. I think it's the bastard child of 8, really, honestly.
I would agree with that. We have all kinds of problems. We went from 10 to 11 back in the spring. We got these GTAC computers. And I don't know how many they've had to re-image because of the speed issues that they just come to a crawl. I was in one yesterday, one of the troop friends, actually a guy that went to recruit school and became a troop that used to be one of our CAD admins. And I was in the computer yesterday. I know where he was docked at has a nice fiber connection. And it was crawling, and I said to him, I'm like, what is this normal? He says, yeah, even in my car, it's normal. I said, put in a ticket. Tell them they need to re-image the thing. They came out and re-imaged it today, and all of a sudden now it's a totally different machine.
Really good. I mean, I was out in,
Yeah, there was some bacon, but I could make it out the whole way. Obviously, as you transition east, it's gotten 100% better. What are you running? Just a portable with a mag mount? VHF, one UHF antenna, so no splitter, they go right to the deck on each side of the radio.
Oh, yeah, my friend had one of those. I forgot which one he had. I think he had a Yaesu. It was actually a tri-bander. And when they had that radio store off of Frazo and Gratiot right over there, or Frazo and Grossbeck, he went over there and he had 6 meter put in on it. But yeah, he ran double antenna, he ran one VHF, one UHF, in his truck. That was pretty cool. That was old school. Mine's just a single dual band, single connection.
Yeah, this is a nice commercial radio. I like it. I'm a Motorola guy, so I try to run it when I can. I got a huge... I have separate ones at home, so I have two XTL-5000, 110 watts, one VHF, one UHF at the house. Still have parts with them. Can't get somebody to buy it for the right price, so I just threw them on the shelf.
Oh, don't get me wrong, I love Motorola. In fact, I got a, I have like about 30 Vertex standard, VHF HD sitting in a box with chargers in my van. Got the program software and everything. I love Motorola. I think they're top dog out of all of them.
Just bought new radios for the FD, but we switched over to Kenwood because we get more bang for our buck. So I call it my Barney radio now. Got the yellow casing. Nice radio, nice battery, last long, but the VP series, it's on a JVC Kenwood platform. Not bad radio, it's easy to program. I do all the programming for it, so. But they just send me a template from the state, and you just blow the template in, and it's already done.
Well, I got a Kenwood VHS. That I got from KCMP County. And I don't know what the wattage is on that. I think it's a 7100A or something like that. I have to dig it up. It's here in the van. But, I used that on two, I only had 2 meter, but I wanted a dual bander, so I went shopping. And I like the Alico because, it may not have the MR feature on it, the digital feature, but what's nice is I got 70 on VHF and 70 on UHF, so there's no power loss on UHF.
Yeah, I got that Yaesu FDM 400 at home. It's in a box. When I got rid of my Ford Escape, I never put it back in the car because I didn't have room for anything. So I just went with this dual band. I don't even talk on digital anymore. It was sometimes nice talking on it, but it's like I just don't use it. I just use the analog all the time.
Oh, I got a MRHD that Captain Don reformatted for me and put the OpenGE77 firmware on it for me. And I got that sitting on my side. I haven't tripped it up yet. On PG-51 for MI-5, but NKVP is going to do a little bit of tweaking on my code plug so I can get that all set up.
the only VHF I really talk on is the Bell River repeater out here in East China. There's some local guys, they're up there. Usually they're in now in the morning, about 10:30 in the morning. Usually on my working home days, I'll turn the HT on and talk to them on there. But I use it mostly for listening to marine traffic up and down the river. When I'm out and about, I'm going to fire call and the bridge is going up, I'll call the bridge and say, nope, don't go up, we got to go south.
Is that train traffic?
No, marine traffic I listen to, up and down the St. Clair River.
Oh, marine, okay, yeah. I got that on my, I got a scanner on my van here too, digital trunking decoder. It does P25 decoding, but I can hit the marine bands and let it flip through the frequencies. I listen to it every so often.
And then when I go up to Harbor Beach, Sanilac County is still on VHF for their public safety, so I have that program in for scanning. I know what's going on up there. Might hear a fire department go out on the way up. Might go take a look at something big or whatnot. And then Huron County still does page out on VHF, so I listen to that.
Oh, they're not on P25 yet?
Huron County's got their own P25 system, but I listen to that on the Unication pager that I have programmed. I have one of those. I use it as a scanner. It works out really, really well.
Nice. Well, that's what's nice about this Pro 197 is I can hit search and can go all across from 6 meter up. And when it comes across the P25, it's got the decoder in it, so it bounces around. When I first got it, I wasn't too sure how to use it, so I just did a scan on it, and the first thing I hit was on MSU with that whole incident that it was up there, I think, last Easter.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly which one you're talking about. So. All right, well, I'm going to say 7-3. I'm almost pulling the driveway here, so about the end of the trip. Almost 2 hours to get home. That's how ridiculous. But, be back out in the morning. I'll catch you tomorrow afternoon or morning. WASC.
WASC. 73 KCKGO. Cujo Alpha Monitoring.
Yeah, he doesn't test it. Wow. Very scratchy. Just listening to myself.
Yeah, I was just testing, see how I sounded over on the HT. See if I'm a little bit closer to the repeater now, but it's not quite full quieting when I use 5 watts.
Got to hold that radio straight up and down. The antenna has to be straight up in the air. Roger. I'll go by the window. Anyways, I'll be back. I got to pick up pizza. See ya, see ya. W8RCY.
How does that sound on the McClemens Tower here?
This is W8RCY responding to the person with the radio check. Sound a little tinny, but you're solid into the repeater.
W8RCY, this is Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. And go with the Mount Clemens repeater. I know I sound kind of giddy on this one. I can always go back to the Warren repeater.
Well, like I said, I'm just in the middle of doing something right now, and I heard you, and I had a split second. And I mean, your audio is fine. I can understand you. It's not that distorted, but it just, like I said, it just sounds a little bit on the tinny side. I was going to ask you if you're using a speaker mic or what kind of radio you're using, because the problem might be in the mic.
It's a Olenko DR735T, and I got the mic gain at zero, so I'm not sure if I'm too far away from the mic or too close to the mic. I know I sound a little bit different on the Mount Clemens repeater.
That time you sounded really good, so I don't know if you maybe moved away from the mic a little bit or something, but that time you were really good onto the Mount Clemens repeater. So I just thought I'd jump in there and let you know I'm in the middle of setting up for the ball game tonight, and I got some friends coming over. So you have a good evening, sir, and we'll catch up with you later. W8RCY. Personal here is Donald, and I live in the Madison Heights area. Have a good night.
W8RCY 73, this is Tom Tango Oscar Mike. Call sign Kilo Charlie, Kilo Julie Oscar, or KCA Cujo is the easy way to remember it. Thank you very much, sir. Have a good evening. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy the game. KCA Cujo, clear.
November 8, Papa Uniform Golf, testing antenna, mobile.
KUATFM.